Bibles will be turning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. If you need a Bible, raise your hand if you would, please. Ushers will bring you a copy of the Word of God. You want to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. You'll find this on page 1254. 1254, if you would, please. Book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Anybody else need a Bible? Hold your hand up high if you would, please. And guys, if you would flip that air in the back for a little bit there, please, but don't let ice cubes come out, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, cool us down a little bit, but not too much, all right? Book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5, how many of you agree with that? Cool us down a little bit, but not too much? All right, good, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 5. It's good to be back with you this morning. I appreciate Pastor Silas filling in last week, the good job that he did there. Our trip was as I already mentioned, was a very quick trip. It was a very surprise trip. My wife and I had resigned that we would see our new grandson probably in February, and that's what we were thinking and looking forward to. And then the Lord orchestrated a real quick trip. We got an email from my oldest son, said, "Dad, I've got a free ticket you can use to California, but you got to go now." Isn't that nice? You know, isn't it nice for your son to plan, right? And within a 48-hour period, we were on a plane on our way to California. So we had a quick trip, but we had a wonderful time with our grandchildren there in California. Somebody asked this morning, how many does that make for us now? That's five. We have five grandchildren, four guys and one girl. I don't know what that is. Guys sort of run in our family, all right? And I was sort of shooting for a girl this last time, and it didn't work out. Hey, the Lord knows best. Amen. What a wonderful offertory that was this morning. Mrs. Silas really outdid herself on that piano today, did she not? And thank you so much for blessing our hearts with that. I'm preaching this morning on a thankful spirit. That's the title of the message, A Thankful Spirit. If you've got your Bibles open, let's stand together for our scripture reading if you're physically able to do so. We're just going to read one verse here in Ephesians 5. As most of you realize, we're studying together the book of Ephesians in our morning service. Last time we were together, we ended up in verse 8 with the challenge of walking as children of light. Lord willing, next Sunday, that's where we'll come back and pick up in our study of Ephesians 5. But this morning, since it is Sunday before Thanksgiving, we do want to share a message on Thanksgiving. And here in Ephesians 5, we got a great verse to look at. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, notice the Bible says, giving thanks when?
Always.
Always. And notice the Bible says, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you read that verse together with me once, please? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we realize that although this coming week is what we call Thanksgiving week, that you really intend for Thanksgiving to be a way of life for your people continually. And even in our text this morning, Father, you tell us to be thankful for all things. And there's some things that happen to us in life, Lord, that are really challenging. Trials and testings and difficulties. Yet in those times, you tell us to be thankful. This morning, I pray, Lord, as we look in the Word of God, that we could really sense afresh many of the things for which we ought to be thankful. We thank you that you are a good God to us. You're very gracious, and you're extremely merciful. You're a loving God, a caring God, a God that's willing to forgive. And Father, you bless us in so many ways. Help us not to take that for granted. And Father, here this morning, more than anything, we need your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God. I need the fullness of thy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we approach the day that has come to be termed Thanksgiving in our nation, there is no question about it, but if you were to look in the Word of God, that God desires for His people to be a thankful people. Psalm 100 tells us that we are to enter the Lord's gates with thanksgiving, that we are to come into his courts with praise, that we are to be thankful unto him and bless his name. And I like what the Bible says. The Bible says, for he, the Lord, is good. Aren't we thankful God's good? And he is merciful. In fact, let's take our Bibles and look at that. Go over, if you would please, to Psalm 100 with me, please. Hold your place in Ephesians. We'll come back to that. Just mark your bulletin or put your Bible ribbon there. And go with me to the book of Psalms, if you would please. In Psalms 100, you might want to tear off a part of your bulletin and stick it in the book of Psalms. We'll be going back to Psalms a number of times here this morning. But in Psalm 100, notice, if you would please, in Psalm 100, if you need a page number, 647, if you're using one of our Bibles or you have an old Schofield Reference Bible, the book of Psalms in Psalm 100, notice what the Bible says here. In Psalm 100, it begins in verse 1 by saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2 says, we're to serve the Lord with, I like this, we're to serve the Lord with what? Gladness. We're to come before his presence with singing. And notice the Bible says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Man, that's a great revelation, isn't it? None of us got here of our own accord. It is God who has what? Made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Then notice verse 4, the verse that I was referencing to. The Bible says that we're to enter into his gates, the Lord's gates, with what? Thanksgiving. That we're to come into his courts, notice what it says there, with what? Praise. We're to be what? Thankful unto him and bless his what? Name. Now, our theme for today as a church is that it's time to bless the Lord. We'll go into that theme more tonight in the evening praise service. But it is time for God's people to bless the Lord. The idea of blessing, come right in. The idea of blessing is the idea of offering praise or thanksgiving to God. And the scripture says that we are to bless the Lord. We're to offer praise to him. We're to offer thanksgiving to him. It also includes the idea of bending the knee before God or bowing before God. We're reverencing God. We're giving God respect. And God's people are to learn to bless the Lord. Now, there seems to be a little bit of paradox in that, in the sense that we're blessing him because he has blessed us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Not just some, but all blessings. And then the verse goes on here in Psalm 100, and it says in verse 5, for the Lord, I like this, the Lord is what? Good. I'm glad that we have a good God, aren't you? And he knows how to give good things to his children. He's merciful. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to what? To all generations. I'm so thankful that we have the truth of God's word this day, and that it endures to every generation. When heaven and earth will pass away, God's word will stand forever. The truth is with us this morning. It is within the pages that you hold in your hand. I'll get to it a little bit later on in the message, but let me just say what a blessing it is to have the truth of God's word. Amen. To realize that this book is true, it is truth, and it will make a tremendous difference in our lives if we'll read it and heed it each day. I'll come to that in a little bit later in the message. I'm getting ahead of myself. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, if you would please. In Psalm 95, we find a similar truth being brought out, same type of truth of Psalm 100. And in Psalm 95, notice what is brought out here in Psalm 95 in verse 1. The Bible says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. So again, we're to come into his presence with singing. Someone just recently said, I can't carry a tune. And I have physical restrictions. I can't really sing. Well, at least we can sing in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Right? And so we can come before the Lord with singing. And as far as God's concerned, let me just say this. Some of you are very self-conscious about your singing because you don't think you can carry a tune in the bucket, and some of you can't even carry the bucket, okay? And I understand that. But, when we sing to the Lord, whether it be verbally out where others can hear it or whether it be in our heart, do you understand that sweet music to God? Amen. And it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Verse 2, "Let us come before his presence with," look at it now, "with what? Thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise in him with psalms." I'm just trying to help you see that the Lord wants us to be a thankful people. Even when we pray to God, the Bible says that we are to pray with thanksgiving. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is right after the book of Ephesians. So if you held your place in Ephesians, go to your right, the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, if you would, please, page 1260, if you lost your place. The book of Philippians tells us that when we pray, that we are to pray with thanksgiving. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, it gives us the cure for worry and anxiety by saying, "Be careful for nothing." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Notice it says, "Be careful for nothing." And the Bible goes on to say this, "But in everything by prayer and supplication." Now, notice our prayer and supplication is to be made with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You've heard the expression that has been said before, "Why worry when you can pray?" You ever heard that expression? Well, in essence, that's what Philippians 4, 6 is teaching us. Instead of worrying about things, pray about things. And as you pray about things, pray with thanksgiving. God wants us to be a thankful people. And then look over in the book of Hebrews with me, please, in Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 15, the Bible's going to make an interesting statement here. Page 1304, the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, "By him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer," now get this, "let us offer the sacrifice of" what? "Praise to God." And the Bible says that that sacrifice of praise to God is to be a sacrifice that is offered continually. 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 Look what it says. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of" our what?
Lips.
Or the fruit of your lips. "Giving thanks to" his what?
Name.
Are you getting the thrust here this morning? God indeed wants us to be a thankful people. We're to come before his presence with thanksgiving. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We're to pray with thanksgiving. The sacrifice of praise is to be something that is continually coming forth from our lips. And then our text for this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 30, really just a verse that's introducing us to what we're going to be thinking about here this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 20, tells us this. It says that we are to give thanks. Now, look at this. We're to give thanks when?
Always.
You know what always means? The Bible's not that hard to understand. When God says that we're to give thanks always, you know when we're to give thanks?
Always.
You follow me? This is not hard, all right? Always means always. And then it goes on to say, for what? For all things. Interesting, isn't it? God says we're to give thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's people are to be a thankful people. Always, all things. That's one of those verses that we might call easy to preach or easy to read, but hard to live. Always, all things. That's what God says. Always and all things. Now here this morning, we want to stress our need to be thankful people. As we stress our need to be thankful people, we're going to think about a variety of things for which we as God's people ought to be thankful. And first of all, I want to think about our very existence. The fact that we are here. Do you understand that you are here by God's design? You say, "No, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm here because I had parents." Well, who put your parents here? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. They're here because they had parents. Well, who put your grandparents here? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. You know, they are here because they had parents. And who put them here? And Pastor, you don't understand. You know, we're getting into great, 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 territory here, but you don't understand. You know, they're here because of these people. And who put them there? And let's reverse it all the way back to the fact that there was a time when there was no one here. And God himself bent down and he took the dust of the earth and he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and God himself breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of what?
Life.
Do you understand that none of us would be here today if it were not for God? Do you understand that? And it's a blessing. It's a blessing for us to recognize that we've been created, made in the image of God, that we have our very existence because of him. And yes, that's a reason to give thanks. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts in Acts chapter 17. Page 1173. The book of Acts in Acts chapter 17. I don't know how many of you have been keeping up with the news. How many of you have kept up with the news and you've seen the pictures of devastation in the Philippines? Have you seen the pictures of devastation in the Philippines? There was a missionary couple living in the Philippines, a man and a wife and their son, that was in the area that got struck by that typhoon. I mean, the typhoon came just right ashore where they were at. And it was just this past week that their mission agency, Baptist International Missions up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, learned that they were still alive. So they'd gone all this time not knowing whether that missionary couple was alive or whether they were dead. There was some assumption that perhaps they didn't make it through it because they were right in the worst part of it. They were right there where it was hit. But he emailed them this week and said, first thing I want to say is praise God. And he says, praise God, we're still here. He said, we don't have anything else. Our home's demolished. Our belongings are gone. Everything's destroyed. But we're here. Life is a precious gift from God. And it ought to cause us every day of our lives when we get up and we breathe to have a thankful spirit. In Acts chapter 17, I want you to notice with me, if you would please. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, the Bible says, God that made the world and all things therein. You say, preacher, you really believe that God made this world? Sure. Absolutely. You say, how'd he do it? Well, the book of Jeremiah says, by his great power and his outstretched arm. How do you create matter? Out of energy. How did God create the world? By his energy, by his power. And he's got great power. He's got mighty power. You know, realize that God could say the word this morning in an instance, and we could all be gone. God's got that kind of power. And here the Bible is saying that God made us. He made the world. He made all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and that God does not dwell in temples made with what?
Hands.
We're not here this morning worshiping our God with some box sitting here, you know, with some stone or hunk of wood and saying, man, there's God. There's God in there. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. You know where God dwells today? He dwells in the temple of our bodies. We saw that a couple of Sundays ago when we were thinking about the church as the bride of Christ and how that God made the church as his temple. Where's God at today? If you're a child of God, he's inside of you. Amen? And he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere present. And notice what the Bible goes on to say here. It's an interesting verse here. In God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, he dwells not in temples made with hands. And verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. Does God need anything from us? But do we need something from God? We sure do, don't we? Every day of our lives. And notice it goes on to say this, seeing that he giveth, and mark this in your Bibles. What does God give? He gives all what?
Life
and what?
Breath
and what? All things. I've got those three things circled in my Bible. What did God give me? God gave me my what?
Life.
What else has God given me? My what? Hey, if God takes away your breath, guess what? Your life's gone. God gives us our life. God gives us our breath. God gives us all things. And all I'm saying here this morning is that we ought to be thankful people. Why? Because there is a God who does exist. And we are alive because of him. Let's be people who recognize God as our creator. Amen. And let's be thankful to God that he made us and he gave us life. He gave us breath. He gives us all things. God is a great God.
Amen.
And then that's number two. Let's thank God for our salvation. Let's thank God for our salvation. Brother Rick, you might bump that air back in the back. I think you'll get some folks too cold. All right. We don't want to do that. We want to thank the Lord for our salvation. The fact that heaven for the child of God is an absolute certainty. Amen. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Why can we face death triumphantly? Because Jesus Christ defeated it. If Jesus Christ had not come to this earth and defeated death, guess what? We would all men be most miserable. None of us, you know, we'd all be, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Man, we'd all be scared of death, would we not? And it's not that we're in a hurry to die, but when death comes our way as a child of God, hey, we can look death in the face and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God which giveth us the what? Victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, thank God for the salvation that he has brought to us. I was speaking to someone just yesterday afternoon who has the idea that getting to heaven, his own words, and I've had conversations with this fellow before, and his own words yesterday as I was talking to him, he said, I'm going to do my best to be kind. I'm going to do my best to reach out and help people in the neighborhood. I'm going to do my best to live as best as I can, and then he said it by he concluded his statement by saying this. And I'm going to hope for the best. And I looked at him and said, wow. Wow. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm over here in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, I have his very righteousness. And I'm not going to rest in anything that I'm doing or how I'm living or what I'm going to do in the community or my best. I'm going to rest in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And I'm not hoping for the best. I'm knowing.
Amen.
See, there's a difference for us who are God's people. Those of us who have come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Listen, on the issue of getting to heaven, everyone must have a payment for their sin. If you don't have a payment for your sin, you're not getting to heaven. We all have sinned against God, yes? And God says that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Meaning that we all have the sentence of death upon us. Now, I have found a payment for my sin. And the payment that I found for my sin is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not trying to pay for it by treating my neighbors right. It's not that I try to treat them wrong. That's just not the payment for my sin. The payment for my sin is not how I live my life, and it's not that I'm trying to live a terrible life. The payment for my sin is Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and look at this in Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans, it's right after the book of Acts. I'm just trying to help you this morning to understand that as God's people, we've got a lot to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful for our very existence from God. We ought to be thankful for the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought into our lives. The fact that heaven for us is not a hope-so thing, a maybe thing, or I think-so thing. For us, heaven is an absolutely certainty because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And in Romans chapter 5, if you want to find a payment for your sin, here it is. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that God commended His love toward us. God displayed the fact that He loves you. Preacher, I don't know that God loves me. Well, He did something to show you. Don't close your eyes to it.
Amen.
See what it says. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet what?
Sinners.
It's not that we were really great people. We were what?
Sinners.
Sinful people. Notice here's God's love. Christ died for us. He took the penalty of our sin on our behalf. He paid for it in what? Full. I was out with Brother Carlton yesterday on visitation. He was sharing with me. He says, man, I've got a paid in full salvation. He's just talking to a guy at work. He says, man, I got a paid in full salvation. Now, somebody else at work is trying to pay for it themselves. I'll be good. I'll go to church. I'll get baptized. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know all the things people out there doing trying to pay their way to heaven when it's already been paid. He says, man, I got a paid in full salvation.
Amen.
By the way, that's the only salvation you can have.
Amen.
Is a paid in full salvation. If you don't accept the paid in full salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you're going to be paying for all of eternity. Because what we do doesn't measure the standard of God's holiness.
Right.
And throughout all eternity, you'll die and be eternally separated from God. But God doesn't want that to happen. He loves us. Amen?
Amen?
He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Why did He do that? To bring us life. Not through what we do for Him, but through faith in Him alone. Notice over in chapter 4, if you would please. In chapter 4 and verse 5, I love this verse. Look what it says. It says, but to him that worketh what? Not. Now some folks say, well, you know, that the Bible is dependent upon your interpretation. Well, I think it's a pretty simple interpretation. But to him that worketh what?
Not.
Would you say the interpretation ought to be to him who works some? To him who works a lot? Or to him that works a little? We've got to get the right interpretation, don't we? Don't we? And yet, what does God say there? But to him that worketh what?
No.
See, the Bible's not as hard as a lot of people want to make it out to be.
Right.
The Bible says, but to him that works not. You know what that means?
You
if you live in the South, it means, but to him that doesn't do a cotton-picking thing. Our salvation is not based upon our works. It's based upon the fact that Christ died for our sins, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And notice what the verse goes on to say. But to him that works not, to the person who's not working to get it, but to the person who believes on Him, on Jesus, who justifies the ungodly. Now look what the verse says. Your faith is counted for what? The very moment you come to say, God, I need a payment for my sin. I don't have one. You do. Your Son, Jesus, paid my sin debt in full. He was buried and rose again the third day. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus to be my way to heaven. I'm trusting Him and nothing else. God takes you and He puts you in His Son. And He sees you as righteous. Now we still see each other in our bodies of sin and death, do we not? But God sees us as what? In His Son, He sees us righteous. If you're here this morning, you've come to put your faith in Christ. Our salvation is something to be thankful for. And it's something to be eternally thankful for. Because throughout eternity, we're going to be singing in heaven the song of redemption. Wow. Thankful. Spirit of thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful we're here. We ought to be thankful for the salvation that the Lord's given us. A third thing that we ought to be thankful for, we ought to be thankful for our Bibles. We ought to be thankful for our Bibles. And that verse over in Psalms says, man, we've got the truth. We've got the truth. And as a child of God, if you're here this morning and you're a child of God, one of the most valuable possessions you have is this book right here. Now, thieves come into your house. Hey, listen, I've been broken into over my house. two or three times. And they've come in and they've taken, you know, some jewelry from my wife. It's not that she had a lot, but they've taken what she had. Right? I think they took my gun. I haven't seen that thing around for a long time. I was just thinking about that the other week. Where's my gun? I think they took it. They've taken computers. They've taken, you know, other things. I mean, when they come to our house, they leave pretty empty. But a few things they find, and they you know, they take it. And you know what they've done? They've never taken a Bible. And the truth of the matter is, you can have my computers, you can have my guns, you can have my wife's jewelry, you can have all those things, but leave me the Word of God. It's the most important thing I have in life, is God's Word. Don't take the Word of God from me. And that ought to be your attitude as well. Don't take the Word of God from me. Do you understand how important God's Word is to you, believer? It brings peace to those who love it. Take your Bibles and look at it over in the book of Psalm 119, if you would please. Psalm 119. I can't even begin to stress how important, how valuable the Word of God ought to be to every one of us here this morning. I think this is one of the blessings that we too often take for granted. You know, we've got Bibles sitting around all over the place, and we just take the Word of God for granted in our lives instead of realizing the blessing that the Word of God is to be in our lives. I once stood or sat in a college chapel service at the end of the Vietnam War, and there was a prisoner of war that our college had brought in to speak in chapel. And as he was speaking to us in chapel, he'd been a prisoner of war for quite a few years there in Vietnam. He said the one thing that we desired more than anything else as we were prisoners in those cells and being mistreated by the Vietnamese was that we wanted something from the Word of God. So guys would sit there and they'd rack their brains out trying to remember verses that they'd heard back when they were kids. And if they could remember any little portion of Scripture, they would take whatever they could find and they would write it down and they would pass it on to another prisoner who would pass it on to another prisoner. Our most valuable possession we had was the Word of God. And in Psalm 119, notice if you would please, in Psalm 119 and 165, the Bible says, "Great peace have they that love thy" what? "Law." The law there is not talking about the law of Moses. It's talking about another way of expressing the Word of God. And the Scripture says, "Great peace have those who love thy law, and nothing shall" what? "Offend them." Listen, when we love the Word of God, it brings peace into our lives. When we study the Word of God and think about the Word of God and read the Word of God and meditate upon the Word of God, it brings a guidance and direction into our lives. Look here in Psalm 119 and verse 105, if you would please. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my" what? "Feet." It is a light unto my" what? "Path." I have to tell you, when we went to California, we took our GPS. Sometimes those things are good and sometimes they're not so good. Last Sunday afternoon, we said goodbye to our son, daughter-in-law, two grandchildren, started making our way across California to go to Lancaster Baptist Church last Sunday night. We wanted to visit West Coast Baptist College while we were in California. So we went to classes last Monday. We were students once again. That's all we did Monday was go to classes and go to chapel. My son had told me how to get there, how to get to Lancaster. He gave me the easy way. My wife plugged the Garmin in. She says, "You're going to blame it on me now." No, I'm going to blame it on the lady's voice on my Garmin. We're riding along. We're making a good clip, making good time. And all of a sudden, the Garmin says, "In so many feet, take a right." And it says again, "Turn right." It says again, "Turn right." I said, "Are you sure? That's not what Paul told us to do. Paul told me to go to this and do this, and Garmin's saying this." And so she said, "Honey, I don't know what to say to you. You know, don't blame me. This is the Garmin speaking. You know, Garmins are usually right. You know, maybe you ought to listen to the Garmin." And so, against my better judgment, I listened to Miss Garmin. And we got to Lancaster, all right. But man, did the garment ever take us on a scenic route? We got up 7,000 feet. And my wife is saying, slow down. Slow down. Slow down. I mean, we're up so high, we can see everything that's around. Yeah. It was an adventure. If you ever want an adventure in California, take my garment. Many times we need that GPS, don't we?
Right.
Because we need guidance. We need what? And for most of us, without it, many of us, we're just what? We're lost without it. Do you understand the Word of God's our spiritual GPS? And without it, we're lost without it. We, you know, if we don't keep ourselves in the Word of God, you know how easy it is to go astray and get lost? Not able to find our way through life. What's it say in verse 105? Thy word is a lamp unto my what? And a light unto my what? Path. You know, the Word of God gives protection in our lives from sin and evil. Look down, if you would, please, in Psalm 119, verse 9. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Bible says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy what? Thy word. Then notice it says in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Don't let me wander from your word. Again, commandments there in this particular passage is dealing with the Word of God, the complete revelation of God. Verse 11, thy word have I hid my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. Listen, never grow weary of memorizing the Scripture and hiding the Word of God in your heart. It will protect you. It will provide for you. It will guide you. It will direct you. And some of you never even ever crack your Bibles except for coming to church. Shame on you. You're trying to make it through life. You're going 7,000 feet up. You're going around these curves. You don't know what's on the edge. You don't know if there's guardrails there or not. And by the way, there were none. And you don't know how close you are about to go off the edge of the side of that mountain. We need God's Word. We need God's Word. It's not an issue. Well, I better read the Bible because my preacher said so. I better do my devotions because if I don't, Pastor Miss Sight is going to get mad at me. It's learning the value and the importance of the Word of God in your life.
Amen.
And saying, God, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the Bible. The psalmist would say, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the what? Honeycomb. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. I'm just thinking about things we ought to be thankful for this morning. We ought to be thankful that we're here. God's given us what? Life. We ought to be thankful for our what? Salvation. We ought to be thankful for the Word of God. And then we ought to be thankful for our church. We ought to be thankful for our church. Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you would please, to Colossians chapter 3. Just things that we ought to be thankful for this morning. This is just a very simple, direct, a straightforward message about a spirit of thanksgiving. It's nothing profound in any way whatsoever. The book of Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, if you would please. Page 1264, if you're using one of our Bibles. And you say, why should you be thankful for your church? Well, it's the place where we come together and we are blessed with the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Listen, if we need God's Word for guidance and direction and all those things that we thought about here this morning, it doesn't hurt us a bit to come to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's a blessing in our lives to come to church and have the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It is a blessing from the Lord. It is not to be taken for granted. You could go to many churches today. I understand that. There's over 1,400 churches in Columbia metro area. You could choose many, many churches, but I also understand there's a lot of those churches that you wouldn't go in today and hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So we need to be thankful for our church because it preaches and teaches the Word of God. Well, the church doesn't. But thank God that you have got a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching, teaching pastor.
Amen.
Thank the Lord that you've got a place where you can come and pray with God's people.
Amen.
The people of God. Look forward to being here on Wednesday night, this week, Tuesday night. Why? Because I'm going to pray with the people of God. And prayer is touching God's throne. And prayer is making a difference in people's lives for all of eternity. It's a place where we are built up in the faith. It's a place where we're encouraged to live for God. It's a place where we're provided opportunities to serve the Lord. It's a place where we have a church family. And when you get connected with your church family, you begin to realize what Proverbs is talking about, saying that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've got brothers, spiritual brothers in this church that are a whole lot closer to me than my physical brother. Thank God for your church. It's a place where we can come and get rooted and grounded in Christ. And look what the Bible says here in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. In the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says this, in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6, the Scripture says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you by faith accepted Christ? You're a saved child of God. You're in Christ. You're in His righteousness. Heaven's your home. The Bible says, okay, there's something now I want you to do beyond that. So walk ye, where? In Him. So now that we're saved, we've got some instruction. Let's go on to walk in who? The Lord. And then notice what he says in verse 7. Rooted and what? Built up in Him, established in the what? Faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thank God for my church. Thank God for a church where I can come and I can get rooted and grounded in Christ. Where I can get built up. Where I can get established in the faith. I can get answers to my questions. I can be grounded in the truths of salvation so that, you know, this little track is the easiest track in the world to pass out. And all you have to do is go to somebody and say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And you get 50 out real quick. Right? But if you slowed down and said, Merry Christmas, and they said, well, what's this Christmas stuff all about? Thank God you come to a church that teaches you enough to be able to answer that. Amen? Amen. I'm just saying, here's something we ought to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful for our church. There are some Christians today who have the idea that they can spiritually get along just fine without a local church. According to the Word of God, I can't. That's why I'm thankful for my church. I'm not to forsake the assembling of myself together. Here's something else to be thankful for. Let's be thankful for the daily blessings that come from God. The daily blessings that come from God. Look over in the book of James with me, if you would, please. I'm going to have to expedite things here. Turn the speed up just a little bit, all right? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's thank the Lord for the daily blessings He gives us. You know, Psalm 68 and verse 19, if we had more time, we'd go look at it. But it speaks of the fact that God daily loadeth us with benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. God gives us blessings every day of our life. You say, you know, what blessings did we have? Did you sing the last hymn that we sang? Sure said a lot, didn't it? Thank God for provision. Food. There's people in the Philippines who are killing people because they don't have food. Thank God for family. Thank God for friends. And thank God for jobs. You only thank God for my job, you don't know about my job. Thank God you got one.
Amen.
Maybe you need a little attitude adjustment. Thank God you got a job. Thank God for health. Thank God for freedom. Are we glad we have freedom?
That's right.
Thank God for living in America. Our nation's got a lot of problems, and I'll be the first one to speak out about them. We still have it a whole lot better than many other places in the world.
That's true.
But we need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for a spiritual awakening, for a revival to take place. Thank God for shelter. I certainly wouldn't want to be outside in the Arctic today, would you? I'm living in South Carolina. This is November. This is not supposed to happen. Thank God for shelter. Today we'll thank God for heat. Tomorrow we'll thank Him for the air conditioning. I had the air conditioning running yesterday as we were out making some visits with the guys. Today we've got the heat. Thank God for padded chairs. Can't call them padded pews, can we? Thank the Lord for vehicles to ride in. Anybody walk to church today? We all rode, didn't we? See, a lot of blessings. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift, look at it now, is from where? Above. Is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what it's saying? Our blessings come from God. God is the source of our blessings. Thank the Lord not only for our daily blessings, thank the Lord for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We enumerated those in our last study in Ephesians, so I'll not go back and do that this morning, but remember how we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus? Not some, but all. Remember that? We've been forgiven. We've been adopted in the family of God. Remember those things? Thank God for the spiritual blessings that we have in our lives. Thank God for the opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I thank God for every opportunity I have either to pass out a tract or open my mouth to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ or to preach the gospel from the pulpit. It is a privilege to share Jesus with others. Do you understand what a precious privilege it is every time you have the opportunity to open your mouth and share the gospel with any person? It is a blessing. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. You are giving them an opportunity to be rescued from an eternal hell and be delivered into an eternal heaven. And our world today has not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what people tell you. Everybody in America has heard the gospel. No, everybody in America has heard a religious message. They haven't heard the gospel. And there are people out in this world that are just longing and are who are hungry and desirous of somebody coming along and taking the Bible and sharing with them how they can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 20 and verse 21, as my Father sent me into the world, so send I you. How did the Father send his Son into the world? He sent his Son to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Now Jesus said, as my Father sent me into this world to seek and save the lost, I'm sending you. What are you to be doing? You're to be seeking the lost. You're to be saving the lost. It's not that we have salvation in us. We have no salvation in us. It is presenting to them the Savior so that they might come to believe the gospel. And believing the gospel, they'll be saved and spend eternity in heaven. I want to encourage you to take that little stack of 50 tracts this week. Yes, everybody on your way out today, pick up a stack on the way out. They're down the table there. Oh, don't you cheat by going out the side door. Go down there, get that 50 stack, and you just try it this week. You try it this week. You get out there this week, and all of you are going to be out there somewhere. Brother Adam thinks he's not, but Leanne's got other ideas for him. And so just take that 50 tracks and go down and say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. See if it's not the easiest track in all the world to pass out. Don't you see that people will be responsive to it? Listen, you say, oh, they might get mad, they might get angry, they might throw it back at me. Well, if they throw it back at you, throw it back at them. No, don't do that, all right? Just pick it up and go to the next guy. Don't worry about it. You know, out in California, I was in the land of the fruits and the nuts. And I only had one person that rejected a tract from me. And it's not that he was ugly about it at all. He just said, no, thank you. He was an emergency room doctor. I'm thinking of all people who ought to be interested. You see all kinds of things, man. You see things I don't want to see. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Pass on everywhere you go. Bilo, Wendy's. Even if you go to that terrible place called McDonald's. Take what I just said with a grain of salt. You might love it. Only good thing at McDonald's is a coffee. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to share Christ. One last thing before we close this morning. We want to thank the Lord for the rainy seasons of life. The Bible says it rains upon the just and the unjust. You know what I mean by the rainy seasons of life? Trials and testings. Anyone can thank God for the sunshine. It takes a spirit-filled person to be thankful for the storms. And that is the context of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. And be thankful always for all things. Really, that verse 20 is in connection with verse 18, where it speaks about be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And when God's people get filled with the Spirit, you know what permeates in their lives? A thankful heart, even in the desperate times. We're in James. Look in James chapter 1 and we'll be done. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all what? Joy when you fall into divers temptations. The word temptations in the verse is being used in the sense of trials, testings, difficulties. When you as a child of God are facing a trial, a difficulty in life, a testing in life, God says, count it all joy, knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. There's something God's going to do through that trial in your life. It will produce endurance. That's the idea of patience there. It will encourage you to keep on going on. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect. The idea there is that you might grow up as a Christian, that you might become mature as a Christian. You might be perfect and entire. And the Bible says, wanting what? Nothing. When I think about being thankful to God in the midst of trials and testings, I think about John Bunyan. John Bunyan, as you well know, wrote Pilgrim's Progress. But do you know what he had to go through to write Pilgrim's Progress? He was imprisoned. He was taken away from his family. He refused to consent to the authorities that he would not openly preach the Word of God. So he stayed in jail. And people would come to the jailhouse and hear him preach. He would stand up on a little stool and look out the window. Bars, no glass. And he would preach to the people who would come. And at times his hands and his arms would be out the windows. And those who opposed him would take razors and slice his arms. And Bunyan made this statement. We must learn to kiss the rod of affliction. When's the last time you went through a trial that you kissed it? When you said, Lord, thank you for this trial. You see, when we go through trials, God's seeking to work in our lives. He's seeking to grow us. He's seeking to mature us. He's seeking to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps he's waking us up to deal with an area that we haven't dealt with in our lives. And God says, okay, you're not going to deal with it? I'll deal with it. I learned a long time ago in my life that God knows a whole lot better than I do. A whole lot better. Matthew Henry, the great Bible expositor of days in the past, once was robbed at gunpoint. Boy, that would be a frightening experience, wouldn't it? Robbed at gunpoint. He wrote in his journal after that these words, let me be thankful first that although they took my purse, they did not take my life. And second, that although it was I who was robbed, it was not I who did the robbing. Get a right perspective on things, we can be thankful. In all things. In all things. Count your blessings. Be thankful to God. Thankful for the very lives you have. Thankful for the salvation He's brought. Thankful for the Bible. Thankful for your church. Thankful for His daily blessings. Thankful for opportunities to be a witness for Christ, and even the trials and the testings that come our way in life. Let's bow together and pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's never come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You've never come to put your faith in Christ, accepting Him as the payment for your sin. The one and the only one who can provide forgiveness of sins and home in heaven. My friend, you can do that here this morning. While heads are bowed and God's people are praying for you, you can quietly talk to God in your mind, and you don't have to put anything in my words or use my words. You can use your own words, but just simply look to God and say, God, here this morning, I realize I need a payment for my sin. I need my sins to be forgiven. I want a home in heaven with you. I understand now that your Son, Jesus, that's what the cross is about. That's what His sacrifice is about. And God, here this morning, I'm not trying anything I do. I'm trusting your Son, Jesus, to save me and give me a home in heaven. My friend, if you'll do that, He'll save you, and He'll give you that home in heaven. And if you are doing that, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you for it. I'm not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I'm not going to identify you in any way. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, boy, I tell you, that made sense. I understood now about Jesus. And I just told God I was putting my faith in His Son, Jesus, to be my Savior. I want you to know I did that. I want you to pray for me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Would you quietly slip your hand and slip it down so I could pray for you? Anyone at all this morning, just slip your hand and slip it down. For those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have much to be thankful for. May God help us to have a spirit of thanksgiving. Father, we thank You for the time to be in Your Word, to be thankful, and to think about the things, Lord, for which we should give You thanks. And there's so many more than what we've even touched today. But Father, I do thank You that You've given us life and breath and all things. I thank You for the salvation that You provided for us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for Your Word, Lord God, how valuable and how important it is in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we'd come to value it, begin to read it and rest upon it, love it all of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for Your daily benefits and blessings. We thank You for the spiritual provision of the spiritual blessings. We thank You for the opportunities we have to be witnesses for Jesus Christ and to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. And Father, we even thank You for our trials and our testings. And some of our people, Lord, are facing some very severe testings. But I pray that through them all, they will keep their eyes focused upon You, trusting You, Lord, learning from You. And Lord, give them what they need. Give them grace. Give them peace. Give them strength. Help them to love You in spite of the trial. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.